You are listening to an audio sermon from Harvest Bible Chapel in Granger, Indiana. For more information, please feel free to contact us by visiting our website at harvestgranger.org.
Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, which you guys have been going through here, is a special, I love this sermon. I love this passage. When I was younger, my parents challenged us that we were to memorize Matthew 5, that they'd give us $10. If we memorized Matthew 6, we'd get $20. If we memorized Matthew 7, we'd get $30. And we had to do it in order. We couldn't just jump to Matthew 7. So this passage has been dear to my heart for many years. And with the Olympic season and everything, if there was one Olympic message, this is it right here. Okay, if you ever want to know how to live your life and what it looks like on this earth and what it should look like, you go to this passage right here. Memorize it, get into it. And I think for the last 3-4 months, you guys have gone through this passage, and we're almost at the end here as Matthew 7, the Sermon on the Mount that is here. And this passage is all about kingdom living. This sermon here that God is talking about, is Jesus is giving to his disciples. It's about kingdom living. Christ came to set up his kingdom. One day he's going to completely come back and set up his kingdom. And what he is showing his disciples here, this is how you're supposed to live. This is what it looks like. And this is how you should walk on this earth right now. And this is what kingdom living is all about. That's why a lot of this stuff, as it was presented to them, they're sitting there going, are you kidding? That's what we're supposed to do? That's what we're supposed to live like? It's kind of upside down thinking. Well, towards the end here, he gets then into Matthew 7. Let's read these verses together. Matthew 7, verse 7. It says this, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which of you, if his son asks him for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Let's pray together. Father, I know apart from you I can do nothing. And God, my words are pointless. So Spirit, I ask that you would come and fill this place today. You'd convict, that you'd challenge. Lord, I don't want anybody to come here and just sit and waste an hour here, an hour and a half that we're going to be here. But God, that they would come and that you would change them, God, for your glory. Lord, help us to live the kingdom that you are set up and are still setting up. God, help us to live for your kingdom. And we give you the praise. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I want to do a little bit as we go into this passage. I want to do three things. I want to talk about how we go into this passage, because I think it's very important how you enter into this passage. When Trent first told me this is the passage I was going to study on, I was like, wow, there is a lot of false doctrine coming out of this passage right here. So it's very important how we enter into this passage. And then I want us to feast upon this passage a little and get the nuggets that are in here. And then I want to end by talking how we exit this passage. And so that's kind of the outline we're going to look at today as we go through. Two weeks ago, I was at a wedding. I did a wedding in Kansas City for friends of the family. And when I was down there, we did the wedding, and we were going for the rehearsal dinner that night. And as we went to this place, you know, I had my four kids and my wife, and we were all dressed up nice for rehearsal. And so we went to this restaurant, and we drove the 45 minutes to this restaurant and walked into a very nice restaurant. It's some Brazilian grill or something, and it's a very nice restaurant. We walked into this restaurant, you know, everybody's dressed very nicely. And so we walked in, we were dressed fine, and we walked back to this back room, and we sat down there, and I had my kids, and yeah, I love my kids, but nice restaurants and my kids usually don't go together too well, okay? I mean, they sit for about 2 minutes. Now, I am thankful for the iPhone and the iPod and those things, because that's what I kind of give them at those things. You know, here, start playing with this. But so we sat there, and this man came in, and he told us all about the feast that we were about to have. And he told us about, there's a buffet up there with 30 different dishes, and he told us about some of those. He told us which one he liked the best. And then he said, while you're eating, there's this little coin, a little paper coin on your table. And if you put it on the yellow side, these men are going to walk around with these big long skewers with meat on it. And if it's on the yellow side, they're going to come by and just place meat on your plate. And I'm like, woohoo, yeah. You know, I'm the type of person that, like, salads and vegetables, that's like just gets in the way of the main course, the meat. And so I'm all about that. So I was like, man, 12 guys is going to walk around. And so I just kept my car on the yellow the whole time. I mean, I'm just like, you just keep piling it on. And so we did. We ate. And I walked up to this buffet line. And I was like, all I could think in my mind were these 12 skewers of meat walking around. And so I think I grabbed like three things of the buffet line. None of that even looked too appetizing to me. I walked back and just, you know, had the plate there ready for them to pile the meat on. And they came by with, you know, steak and pork chops and chicken. I mean, it was incredible. And in between taking bites, I was making sure my kids weren't knocking anybody over. They were staying, you know, in their seat. And, you know, I'd take a couple more bites. And this one had to go to the restroom. So I did that and came back. And, you know, that usually happens about two or three times. Luckily, I have three girls, so I only have to do one because I got my boy. So I took him. He came back. My wife had to do the other three. And so we that kind of happened for, you know, about, you know, the 45 minutes of the meal. And then, you know, we got up and we walked out. And there are two things that as I walked out of the restaurant that I realized. Number one was that never bring my kids to a nice restaurant like that again, okay? So I would love to go back to one, but I think I only ate half of what I probably would have eaten if I didn't have a whole bunch of kids with me. But the other thing I walked out was full. I was full. I mean, if they weren't there, I probably would have crossed over the line to gluttony. So it probably was good that they were there, but I was full. And kind of that illustration is kind of what I want to go into this passage. I want us to go into and figure out how we're supposed to go into this passage. And then we're going to eat. We're going to feast on this passage for a little bit. And then we're going to walk out. And there's a way to walk out of this passage correctly. And I want us to make sure that we walk out today understanding what this passage is about. So first of all, how do we go into this passage? I believe there's two options of how you can go into this passage. The first option is this, is my kingdom now. The second option is his kingdom come. Okay, you can go into this passage thinking, wow, asking will be given unto me. Whoa, what am I going to start asking for? And if you come into this passage saying it's all about my kingdom and your life is still all about your kingdom, then you're going to misinterpret this passage real quick. And that's what I feel like a lot of people have done. You know, you've watched the televangelist on TV that, you know, starts to go to this passage and say, man, just start to ask God. God wants everybody rich. And just start to ask God and God will give you money and he'll give you that new house. He'll give you that new car. And if he doesn't give it to you, it's because you don't have enough faith. So you need to go down and borrow a couple $1,000 and give it to our church. And then you have more faith. And it's, you know, so just ask. It's going to be given unto you. Listen, when I hear that, all I think is that's all about my kingdom now. You have to go into this passage thinking it's all about his kingdom. I was in Atlanta this last year and speaking at a church down there. And I was going to speak on Sunday. And on Thursday, a friend of mine, he asked me if I wanted to go to this church that he's been to before. So I was like, okay. You know, he said, it's, you know, kind of interesting, does some unique things. I said, you know, I like to go to different churches. And so it's like, let's go. So we get there, and we realized, not realizing when we first got there, but when we walked in, we realized they were going to have, it was a healing service that night. And he was like, do you want to stay? I was like, yeah, man, let's stay. I want to see what goes on. I've seen this on TV, but I like to know what goes on. And so I walked in, and, you know, I didn't sit in the very back because I didn't want to look too much like a skeptic. So I sat like in the second to back row. And so I sat down there and you know, they came up and the pastor of the church, they had brought someone in who was going to do the healing service. But the pastor, the part that was interesting to me, and the healing service was definitely unique, and I can tell about that later another time. But the pastor came up to take the offering. And he walked up, take the offering, and basically had us, basically said, God wants you to be rich. God wants you to have money. And you know, all the people are amen, and yeah, that's right, God wants you. And then he had us, you know, all put our hand on the person next to us and say, you pray for them, that God gives them money, the money they need. And you know, I'm sitting there, and as I study the scriptures, listen, I don't see that. I was just reading through Acts with my wife the other day. And the apostle Peter walks by a beggar. And the beggar says, give me money. And Peter says, I don't have anything to my name. I don't have anything. He wasn't rich. Was he a man of God? Yeah. Was he rich? No. He said, I have something more for you. And listen, if you come to this passage and still thinking it's about your kingdom, you're going to misinterpret it totally. But you have to come to this passage saying it's about his kingdom. I mean, that's what the whole Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is about, right? It's all about God's kingdom. I mean, Matthew 5 talks about, it says, you're the light of the world. And then it says, do these good works. Why? So you may glorify your Father who is in heaven. It's all about who he is. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, let his kingdom come. His will be done. Matthew 6:33 says, seek you first his kingdom. And so when you come into this passage, you must enter into this passage the correct way. Are you going to get all messed up in your theology? You're going to get all messed up in your doctrine because you're going to think, man, I just got to ask and it's going to be given to me. I'm going to seek. Wow, man, I love these verses. Now, if an elder here really wants to scare Trent, just text him and say, that's what I preached this morning, okay? I think, you know, just send him a little text and say that. But we have to understand, it's about his kingdom. It's not our kingdom. Now, as you've gone through these last 3-4 weeks, let me ask you, are you living for his kingdom? Are you living for your own kingdom? Let me ask you this last week, whose kingdom did you live for? Was it your kingdom? You say, Jeremiah, how do I know if I'm living for God's kingdom? Well, it's all in this passage. Blessed are the peacemakers. That's for his kingdom. Talks about just in chapter 6, talks about giving to the needy. Talks about prayer, talks about fasting, laying up treasures in heaven. Listen, was this what your life was about this week? If not, then I'm going to say you are living for your own kingdom. You know, what kingdom needs to go? What kingdom are you living for? Because you're not, this passage here is about praying. There's no way you're going to be able to get to the kingdom praying unless you first can live for his kingdom. And we like these verses. And a lot of people like these verses. But there is a prerequisite to coming into this passage, and that is being able to say, his kingdom come, not my kingdom. What kingdom did you build this last week? And maybe, and my prayer was, as I was preparing this, that right now, that if it wasn't God's kingdom, that the Holy Spirit right now is pressing on your heart, saying, you live for your own kingdom this week. Man, praying? You didn't really do that this week. You weren't dependent upon me. Peacemakers, being poor in spirit, mourning, not being angry with your brother, loving your enemies. That wasn't how you lived. It was about your kingdom. And I want to first just say, make sure that our prayer can be, his kingdom come. And you can't pray his kingdom come until you say, my kingdom go. You can't do it. And we like to come and, you know, we'll sing and we'll worship and, you know, we'll come to church and we'll sit and we'll maybe even give a little bit of money. But listen, it's not about that. Those things are great. But ultimately, it's about us being able to stand and say, God, it's about your kingdom. What do you want with my life? It's not about my kingdom. It's not about me. How'd you live this last week? Now, as we go into this passage, and maybe you're going to have to, when we pray, or maybe you need to get on your knees right now. I don't know. Maybe you need your heart. Say, God, I got to change my mindset because it is right now all about my kingdom. But I want to continue on. I want to go into this passage. But let's make sure we go into it understanding. It is about his kingdom coming. Now, as I went into this passage, there were like 3 questions that really came to me as I started to think about this. As I was going to try to feast upon this passage and look at the nuggets that God had here, there are three questions that came to me. That's kind of what I answer here. The first question would be this: what can I ask, seek, and knock for? I mean, that's kind of a question that came up to me. What can I? What can I ask for? What can I seek for? What can I knock for? The other question that kind of came up to me was this: why are there 3 stages here in praying? You know, it seems like there's 3 stages here: ask, seek, knock. Well, why? If I can ask for something and receive it, why do I need to go into the seeking and knocking? Okay, I mean, why? Well, why is there 3 stages here? And then, do I receive everything I ask for? I mean, that's what it seems like. Asking, you will be given to you. Will I receive everything that I receive for? These are 3 questions came to me. So let's kind of look at these as we dive into this passage. Now, as we come in, it says here in verse 7, ask and it will be given unto you. What can we ask for? Well, let's make sure we understand what this passage is talking about. I mean, look at Matthew 5, okay? And make sure you get the weight of this passage, and then you're going to ask yourself, ask and it shall be given unto you. The weight of this passage talks about Matthew 5, okay? Be poor in spirit. We're supposed to mourn. Supposed to be meek in verse 5. Verse 6 is hunger and thirsting for righteousness. Be merciful. Be peacemakers in verse 9. Verses 13 and 16 talk about being salt and light of the world. Okay, this is how Jesus is telling all his disciples here. He's saying, listen, this is how you're supposed to live, right? Like this. This is what it looks like. Okay, you've heard this passage over 4 months. They're hearing this over 1 sitting. Jesus is saying all this, but you need to be salt and light. You need to come and let your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Listen, don't be angry with your brother. Actually, don't even come and worship if you have an ought with somebody else. Verse 27, it talks about lust. And he says, listen, if you even think upon a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Verse 31 talks about divorce. Verse 33 and on, it talks about don't make an oath if you're not going to keep it. Verses 38 and on talks about retaliation. It's good to retaliate, but he talks about retaliating for good when someone does evil against you. Verses 43 talks about loving your enemies. And then we get into chapter 6 here. And again, it's no chapters as Jesus spoke. He's just still speaking. This is how you're supposed to live. In verse 6, it talks about giving to the needy. Or chapter 6, giving to the needy. Then he says, this is how you're supposed to pray. But listen, don't let people see. Then you're supposed to be fasting. When you lay up treasure, don't lay up treasure on this earth. Lay up treasure in heaven. And then it talks about not being anxious. Listen, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about clothing. Don't worry about food. I got it all together. Then chapter 7, judge not. Don't judge anybody. You get the old plank out of your own eye. Now listen, if you feel the weight of that passage, when he then comes and says this, ask and it shall be given unto you. What do you think you're going to ask for? You think the disciples said, ask it. Oh, you know what? I need a new boat, Jesus. My model's, you know, kind of old, and I think I need a new boat. Ask it shall be given. You know, I think I need a little more money. I need some new clothing. I need something else. You think that's what they're going to ask for? Listen, if you feel the weight of this passage, I don't think you're going to ask for material things. I think you're going to ask for kingdom character, aren't you? But see, what we do is we just kind of pull this passage out. Asking it shall be given. But the apostles, they just heard all this way of how to live. I would have been sitting there going, Jesus, are you kidding? I got to live like that? That's what I'm supposed to act like? That's what it's supposed to look like? So then when Jesus says, ask and it shall be given, man, I'd be like, God, I need help doing this. God, I don't know how to be poor in spirit. God, I don't know how to pray. God, please help me. I don't know how to fast. I don't know, man, to judge not. Man, are you kidding? I can't even think upon a woman in lust after, even in my mind, I've already committed adultery. God, I need help in that. You see, if we understand the passage, then we're going to go and say, God, it's about kingdom character. And that's what I'm going to ask for. You know what majority of people's prayers are? Is about their life or about material things. Which is interesting because just in a couple verses before, what did Jesus say? Listen, don't worry about your life. I got it under control. You know, don't worry about food. Don't worry about clothing. I'll provide for you. But usually when we get to this part of asking, why are we always asking for those things? Now, is it wrong to ask for those things? No. But I don't think that was what would be on the apostles' heart as they went into this passage. When Jesus said ask, they're not going to say, okay, I better ask for food. No, Jesus said, I already got that under control. Okay, I better ask that I live a long life. No, Jesus said, I already got that under control. You can't put another day in your life. But I would say 70% of our prayers probably consist of those things that Jesus already said, I have it under control. When we get to this passage, it is asking, saying, God, I need kingdom character. Now, are you saying, Jeremiah, we should never ask for other things, material things? No, don't get me wrong. Let me just explain that for a second, and then we'll jump back into this. I don't think that's wrong, and I think you could take this passage and pray and ask for other things. But listen, again, you got to interpret Scripture with Scripture. You can't just pull this out and say, I'm going to ask for everything. I'm going to ask for this new car. I'm going to ask for this new house. No, let's understand some things. First of all, if you're going to ask for material things, first of all, according to this passage, you must be a child of God. Okay? You must be a child of God. These verses say that. It's our Father we go to. And sometimes, some reason why some people are not receiving what they're asking for is because you're lost. You've come here today and you've never had your sin pardoned. You've never accepted Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. Yeah, you prayed a prayer. You walked an aisle, but it is still all about your kingdom and you've never turned your life over to His kingdom. And yeah, these verses don't apply to you because these verses, Jesus is talking to His disciples. He's talking to those. He's saying, ask, because your Father. So if He's not your Father, then these verses aren't going to apply to you. I think another thing is that you must be an obedient child of God. If you look in 1 John, you don't have to turn there, but 1 John 3:22 says this, "Whatever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and are doing the things that are pleasing in his sight." You know what that verse says? That yes, you can ask, but you receive. You know why we receive? Because we keep his commandments and doing pleasing in his sight. Listen, one of the conditions to asking is keeping his commandments that are and doing things that are pleasing in his sight. You must be an obedient child of God. You know, you can't live this hellish life over here and then come over here and say, "God, I want to ask you to give me all this stuff." It's not going to work that way. That's what some people do. You got to be an obedient child of God. There's conditions to this asking. I think another condition is you must be a selfless child of God. It says in James 4:3, "You ask and you receive not because you ask amiss to consume it on your own lusts." You have to be selfless. You ask, you receive because you ask to just put it all on yourself. You want things that just make your life happy. You can't ask for those. Jesus says, listen, it's not about your desires. It's not about your kingdom. It's all about my kingdom. And when we're living a life for God's kingdom, then when we come into this passage and we ask, all those things we're asked for are going to be about God's kingdom and not about our kingdom. But most of the time when we ask for things, it's all about our kingdom. We want it for us. And I would challenge you to look over your prayer list. Look over those things that you're asking for right now and ask yourself, is this because I want God's kingdom to be furthered or is this because I want my kingdom to be better? And I wonder if that would change a lot of your prayer life. Because most of the time we ask because we want to consume our own lust. It's all about us. That's why this passage is not just a blank check. This isn't like a slot machine where we go in and we just kind of pull the handle and eventually God's going to give us. If we keep asking and asking, then eventually the money's all going to pour out. That's not what this passage is about. I think also a condition is you must be a focused child of God. Look at 1 John 5:14 says this, "And whatever we ask, we know we receive of him if we ask according to his will." You see, again, it's all about his kingdom. You must be a child of God, an obedient child of God, a selfless child of God, and a focused child of God if you're going to come in and ask. You see, it's not just a blank check that God says, "You just ask and I'm going to give." No, there's other things, there's conditions that go into it. So the first question that we've answered here is, what can I ask, seek, and knock for? Well, I think the main thing that this passage is really talking about is kingdom character. It's kingdom character. Now, I'm not saying material things aren't there, but I think the main thing is kingdom character. You know, as I was studying this passage and I was going into it, I realized, it's like, God, that's one thing that I don't pray a lot about, is my character. You know, but if I really felt the weight of the kingdom, then that would probably consume a lot of my prayer life. Praying for the character that I need, the character of my friends or the people around me. You know, I'll pray for their physical needs and those things. Those aren't bad, but God's going to take care of those things. Well, what are you praying for about your character? I tell you what, God really challenged me was the first verse in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You know, blessed are those who are humble. That's what that's saying. Blessed are those who are broken. That's not me. And that's been my prayer over the last couple of days, last week, is, God, this is what I want. Yeah, I can pray that you show me where I'm going to go someday and plant this church, and I'm not saying that's wrong, but should that consume my time, or should I be praying about my character and saying, God, I want to live in this kingdom that you are setting up for your glory, and I need some character change. I need my heart to change. God's going to send me where I need to go. I need my heart to change. Blessed are the poor in spirit. God, that's what I want in my life. And God has started to shape and to change my prayer life because I realized that kingdom asking really involves a lot of kingdom character and praying for kingdom character. And then to go into that, why are there three stages here in praying? I mean, look, ask, seek, and knock. Why does he give us three stages? Well, each one is different. The word there, ask, you know, we think of this word as just kind of a simple little, you know, I'm asking for a drink of water. But actually this word means, has great urgency with it. It's almost to the point of demanding. This is not just some light little word. And also this word, the connotations this word gives, and we're not going to go into all that, but it's petitioning for one, petitioning of one who is lesser in position than he to whom the petition is made. It gives the connotation of going someone lesser, going to someone of supreme authority, saying, I want to ask you for something. And it's not just a quick little ask. It's not a simple ask. It's in the present imperative, which it means it's a statement. It's a continual asking. And I'm continually going to God. You know, many of us, we've asked once or twice, and we say, man, I didn't receive it. Man, the word of God's not truth. That's not even what this passage is talking about. It is asking and asking and asking and asking and going and going and going. And then he goes, it's not just asking, it's also seeking. Seeking is asking plus acting, plus actions upon that. There's something to that. It's not just asking, but it's seeking after God, saying, God, I need this, and putting action to it. And then he goes to the next stage of knocking. Knocking is coming up to that door and pounding and saying, I hear you in there. I know you're behind this. Please open this door. You see, there are different levels, I believe, here to praying. And I would dare say that most of us have never passed that first level of praying. One person put it this way, and I like how he put it. He said, the stacking of these words is extremely forceful, but the fact that they're the present imperatives gives them even more of a punch. Jesus is driving his point home, and the point is this. We are to be passionately persistent in prayer. We naturally persevere in our prayer when someone close to us is sick. If one of our children becomes ill, we pray without ceasing. Likewise, if we're in financial trouble, or if we are hoping for a promotion, or if we are fighting a dangerous task ahead of us, we generally find it easy to pray. But do we persist in our prayers for spiritual growth, for ourselves and others? Do we ask, seek, and knock for a pure mind? Do we keep on knocking for forgiving spirit, or the removal of anger or critical spirit? You know, I would say no for me. I've gone to God, and I feel like I've seeked and I've knocked for certain, you know, physical things or material things here, asking God to provide. And yes, I've seen God do that. But have I really ever gone to God and sought after him and knocked because I have an impure mind and I need God to help me? I'm not humble, I'm not poor in spirit, and I need God to help me. And so I'm going to go to the throne, and I'm going to keep knocking, and I'm going to keep knocking until he gives me victory. You see, we don't pray like that. But that's what this passage, I believe, is about. You know, if I was sitting in my office, and my daughter was outside swinging, and I heard her say, Daddy, come and push me. You know, I was kind of studying, so I just kind of kept studying, and then I heard her in the house yelling, Daddy, come push me. Daddy, come push me. As she's seeking after me, trying to find me, and said, Daddy, come push me. You know, and I'm still kind of studying there. And then she comes right up to my office door and starts pounding. Daddy, come push me. Daddy, come push me. And I go and I open that door, and those big blue eyes look up right at me. And I give in. I go out and push her. You know what? I believe God is the same way. You know, God just wants us to be persistent sometimes in our prayer. You know, anybody can ask. But is he going to find you seeking and knocking? Well, you're coming up to his door saying, God. And again, it's not just about material. It's about, my God, change me. God, I need help. God, change my life. God, I don't want to be like this. God, this is not who I don't want to act like this. I want to act like the Beatitudes. God, these things. I want to love my enemies. God, I want to forgive. God, I don't want to be angry. God, I want to know how to pray. I want to be a giving person. I want to store up treasures in heaven. Please, God, help me. Ask, seek, and knock. Listen, are you persistent in your prayers? That's what he's saying here. Are you persistent in your prayers? Have you ever really moved past maybe that first stage of asking? And really are seeking and knocking for God to change your character so that you can live a life of kingdom character? Then the last question, do I receive everything I ask for? Do you receive everything you ask for? Well, again, let's look at the passage here. It says, or verse 9, or which of you, if his son asked for bread, would give him a stone? The bread back then kind of looked like stones. And so would you deceive your son like that? No. Or which of you, if he asked for fish, would give him a serpent? And this is probably, he's talking, they cooked fish. You know, if you cooked fish and snake the same way, they'd look the same. But snake was not good for them to eat. It was, and fish was. So would you deceive your son and give him and defile him by having him eat snake? No, of course not. If you then, who are evil, and he's talking to the disciples here. He's saying, if you who are evil, which compared to God, we're evil. I mean, there's nothing good in us. Know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give gifts to those who ask him? Listen, let me tell you, there's one requirement to God giving these good gifts here. Because God only gives good gifts. God only gives good gifts. Listen, if it's not a good gift, you're not going to receive it. Because God only gives good gifts. Do you realize that if you have asked for something, you have not received it, then it is not good for you to have right now. Because God loves to give good gifts. And so if you have asked for something, as you are seeking his kingdom and all the other stuff we have, if you've gone to him and said, God, whatever this may be, and you have not received it right now, then I believe it's good for you right now. Because God loves to give good gifts to his children. Now, let me say this. Now, as you talk about my character, if I ask for patience, I believe God's gonna give me that. Because he wants me to be patient. He wants me to be humble. He wants me to have pure thoughts. So he's going to help me in that. He's going to give that. He's going to walk down that. So that's why I said, man, you really want to see God receive? You want to see God answer when you ask? Then start asking for kingdom character. Because I believe God wants that for your life. But if it's some material thing, which I say, you can ask for material things, it's all wrong. But listen, if it's not good, you're not going to get it. That's one of the requirements. There are exception clauses there. Because God only gives good things. God only gives good things to his children. So as I look at this passage, the main nuggets that I see is God says to come and ask. I mean, 9 times in this passage, he says, seek, knock, ask, ask. God wants you to come, children. Church, God wants you to. But as you come and asking, will you start by asking for kingdom character? Will you start by asking for that? Not just asking, but will you go to the next stage and seek after? Will you go to the next stage and knock for it? Be persistent in your praying. Now, how do we leave this passage? And we'll close with this. How do we leave this passage? I believe the only way to leave this passage is you have to leave looking at your king. You have to leave looking at your king. If you leave this passage saying it's all about you, then you're going to ask for the wrong things again. Listen, this passage, do you see your king in this passage? You know what I believe Jesus is doing? He's saying, disciples, come here for a second. I want to tell you a couple things. I want to tell you about your God. Let me tell you about your king. You know what? He loves to give good gifts to you guys. You know that? My mom loves to give gifts. She does. She loves to shop for people. She loves to shop for Christmas. I mean, especially Christmas. Big deal for my mom. She'll start Christmas shopping right now. And you know, she'll start saving these presents up and putting them and hiding in place. It's really neat because usually we get around Christmas time, she forgets about 2 or 3 of them because she hid them someplace she can't remember. And so about April, we'll have Christmas in April again. Okay, these are all the gifts that she couldn't find. But listen, she loves to give gifts. I have 4 kids, I said, and she loves to come over and give them gifts. And I love to look at my mom as she gives gifts because it's probably more exciting for her than it is for my kids. Now, my kids love the gifts, but she loves to give them. And that's what I think about when I think about my God here. You see, don't leave this passage not looking at your king. God loves to give gifts to us. That should blow your mind. Why? He already gave me a place in heaven. He already sent his son to die on the cross. And he still continues to love to give to me? mean, what an incredible king you serve. What an incredible king that you have. I mean, if we look at this passage, he answers. He's a listening king. He's a listening king. I mean, that alone, you know, so many times we'll focus on the asking, but listen, God's listening to you. Does that not just blow your mind away? That the God of the universe is going to listen to you? That's an incredible thought. You see, don't miss God. I had a professor in college who said, as you go through the scriptures, look for God in every page. Look for him in every verse. Because he's there. And we can look at this and go, ask, and it'll be given to us. Okay, what did I ask for? No, ask. I mean, God's listening to that. He's a listening king. He not only is a listening king, but he gives. He's a giving king. He doesn't just sit up there and say, well, they asked us, but I'm not going to give to them. No, God loves to give. And to go more than that, he gives good. He's an intimate king. You know why I know that's intimate? Because God knows what is good for you. Listen, I know Brad a little. I've met Brad a couple times. Listen, I wouldn't know what to get Brad. Okay? I wouldn't know what a good gift would be to Brad. Because I don't know Brad that well. I've met him. We've talked. We've conversed a little here. But I'm not intimate with Brad. I don't have that type of relationship. Now, Micah, you know Brad pretty well, don't you? And you would know what type of gift to give Micah, wouldn't you? I mean, to give Brad. You know what he would like, right? Because you have a relationship with him, right? Listen, your father knows how to give good gifts to you. You know what that means? He has an intimate relationship with you. Psalms 139 says he is intimately acquainted in all your ways. God knows what's good for you. Listen, that's an awesome thought. You know, sometimes we get on this life and we just kind of think that we're tucked over here and God doesn't know us. He doesn't think about us. And every once in a while we come to church and then maybe he sees us. No, God knows everything that you do. He is intimately acquainted in all your ways and he knows what's good for you. Now, an intimate king, that could scare a lot of people if you're still about your kingdom. But if you're about his kingdom, then you're like, wow, what a good, intimate king he is. And not only does he gives good, but he also gives more. Did you see that here? It says, how much more? He's a generous king. He doesn't just hold it all in. He loves to give good things. He gives more. He's a generous king. Listen, church. Walk out of this passage, look at your king. I want you to walk out today thinking about your king. Not the message or this. Or I want you to walk out saying, God, you're awesome. God, what an incredible God you are. You see, I could have come to this passage and where a lot of people, if you listen to some people on TV, they're going to come to this passage and you'll leave it thinking it's all about you. So start making your list of what you're asking for. Start making your list of what you're going to seek after because, man, God's going to give it to you. That's not how I want you to leave. I want you to leave saying, what an incredible king we serve. What an incredible God we have. He's a listening God. He's a giving God. He's an intimate God. And he's a generous God. Let me connect the dots and we'll pray. We go into this passage saying it's all about his kingdom. Let me ask you again, is it about his kingdom or your kingdom today? Is it about your kingdom or his kingdom? If it's still about his kingdom, I mean, it's still about your kingdom, then as we pray here in a second, maybe you need to get on your knees, maybe you need to come to the altar, I don't know, but maybe in your mind you just need to say, God, I want to live this week for your kingdom. I don't want it to be about my kingdom. And if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ and you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior and taken that step and he has adopted you into his family, then I pray that today would be the day of your salvation. I mean, let me just ask you, that's the type of king I want to serve. Man, I want to serve a king who listens, gives, who's intimate, who's generous. That's the king I want to serve. And I pray if you don't serve that king today, that today would be the day of your salvation. Today would be the day of your salvation. Don't play the game any longer. Man, get saved today. In a couple weeks, get baptized. Let this be the most glorious day right now. His kingdom come. Can you say that? Can you walk out those doors? If you can't, I pray you won't walk out those doors until you can walk out saying his kingdom comes. And I would challenge you as you walk out to whisper that under your breath. His kingdom come. Not mine. It's his kingdom. I don't want to live this week for my kingdom. I want to live for his kingdom. As you're in this passage, we looked at the persistent praying. I want to challenge you to make a list of some character, kingdom character qualities that you need to start praying for. God has challenged me in that. And I've started that. I don't think I'm at the knocking stage yet. I'm still learning what it means to pray for kingdom character. But I believe this is what the passage is talking about. Will you make a list of some things that you need to pray for? Right there next to those things you're praying for physically, you know, material, those things. Put at the top of your list, kingdom character, and this is what I need. And go through Matthew 5, 6, and 7. You'll find some. It's all in there. It's all in there. And maybe just today, you say, God, I need kingdom character in my life. And I want to persistently pray for some of those things. And then as we walk out of this passage, and as we walk out today, we're looking at our King. It is all about him. Will you bow ahead and close your eyes with me? With heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to pray here in a second. We're going to end with a song. But will you go to God right now? Will you go to God? Do you need to get on your knees? Do you need to come down here and kneel? Is there anything magical about coming down? No, I'm not saying that. Just maybe in your heart, you just need to say, God, I lived for my kingdom this last week. Maybe this last month, maybe this last year, I don't know. It wasn't about God's kingdom. Can you honestly sit in your seat today and say, God, let your kingdom come. It's not about me. It is not about me. It is about your kingdom. And if you can't, will you change? One day he's going to come and completely set up his kingdom. We're practicing right now how to live. Don't let it be about your kingdom. Don't go through this week, it'd be all about your kingdom. I mean, these last 3-4 months that you've heard the teaching of Matthew 5, 6, and 7, don't miss that it's all been about his kingdom. That's what it is. I live like it. His kingdom come. His will be done. Maybe there's some character things that God is starting to show you and you need to start praying for. Kingdom character and change. Look at your King. Look at your King. He is awesome. He's an incredible King. Let's not miss that. Father, I come before you. My King. My daddy. Lord, it blows my mind that you still want to give us things. God, that you still want to help us. You've done so much. And God, I know in a crowd like this, I know there are some who don't know you as King. Lord, I know there are some here that they've never been adopted into your family. And God, I pray that you draw their heart today, Lord, that you are convicting their heart right now and you're showing them that they need you for the first time and that you want to be their King. You want to be their Father. God, I pray that you'd save some. I pray that afterwards they'd come and talk to one of the elders or talk to Micah or myself, and God, that they would, Lord, today be the day of their salvation. But God, for those who are here and you are their King, they have made that profession. Lord, they are part of your family. God, I pray that we would live this week for your kingdom and not for our kingdom. God, that you would change our character. God, that we would learn truly what it means to persist in praying, to go to you and say, please, God, help, I need you. God, that you'd find some people here who know how to go to the throne of grace and to pound on the doors begging you to change their character. Making them more humble and pure. Lord, making them understand what it means to pray and to fast and to give. God, that you'd find us knocking, asking for kingdom help. God, it is all about you. It is all about your kingdom. And God, I am so thrilled that I get to be part of this. I get to be part as you are setting up your kingdom on this earth. I get to be part of it. And God, I want to live how you want me to live. I don't take this as a chore. Lord, I want to live as Matthew 5, 6, and 7 talks about. God, I pray you find a group of people here too. God, our eyes are on you today. Our focus is on you today. God, it is all about you. God, you are great. You are big. And we praise you. In the name of Jesus, I do pray.
You've been listening to an audio sermon brought to you by Harvest Bible Chapel in Granger, Indiana. For more information, please feel free to contact us by visiting our website, harvestgranger.org.